Hey, it's Mraz. I'm back. The crew's back, except for Bogish, but it's still a Thirsty Thursday. Check out the best of the DA show now.
Speaking of the NBA, we begin with Game 3 of the NBA Finals. And the Denver Nuggets coming off Game 2 where they collapsed in the fourth quarter. The Heat came all the way back to snatch a series split in Denver. Then we're coming back home to South Beach. And so could the good times keep rolling for the Heat? Could they grab control of the series at 2-1? How would they then play at home? Last night, it was not the Heat who were most impressive. It was the Nuggets. And it is where we begin. Your cold open.
Over halfway home now in the fourth quarter. Jokic hands it off over to Jamal Murray. Takes a long two. Jumpers up and in. 95-79 Denver.
You know, most people that have watched the Nuggets play, you know, when I have a game like that, you know, I'm most likely going to bounce back.
Bounce pass top of the key over to Nikola Jokic. Jokic back over to Murray. Murray goes to the right hand, gets a pick from Nikola. Stops, throws it back to Joker. Head fake on the jumper. Drives in on Adebayo, shoots over him. Jumper's good! Denver leads it by 16 with 3.5 to go in game number 3.
When you have a line that's never been accomplished before in finals history, what do you think of that?
To be honest, I just think it's a win, you know. Because if we lose, nobody's gonna even mention. To be honest, I don't care. It's just a stat.
I don't believe it.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Final score: Nuggets 109, Heat 94. It was all Denver, especially after halftime. And the Nuggets have a 2-1 series lead. You just heard Nuggets radio. And then the two stars of last night, Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. Jokic was asked there about his historic line. This had never happened in the history of the NBA Finals. A 30, 20, and 10 triple-double. Okay, this is the way that Jokic's night went. 32 points, 21 rebounds, 10 assists. Nobody, not Wilt, not Magic, nobody had ever had a 30-point, 20-rebound triple-double. So Jokic's brilliance just continues, and last night he did it again. But the story was last night, the combo of Jokic and Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray also had a 30-point triple-double. Now, he didn't get 20 rebounds. He got 10, but he had a 30-point triple-double. So, sit there, hold on to your morning coffee on your way to work, and listen to this. We have never seen two teammates have 30-point triple-doubles in the same game. And it wasn't like the Nuggets scored 150 points in this game. They scored 109. We'd never seen a pair of teammates have two 30-point triple-doubles in the same game. Not of the NBA Finals. We had never seen it ever. Not in the NBA playoffs. We had never seen it ever. Not of the NBA regular season either. Never in the history of the NBA. Again, I'll repeat. Never in the history of the NBA. Regular season, postseason, finals. Have we ever had what we had last night? Teammates have dueling 30-point triple-doubles, and Jokic and Jamal Murray did that last night. And so the story of the night is that when it mattered, the Nuggets' two best players played at their very highest level and delivered. And as I said yesterday, as much respect as I have for the Heat, and as much admiration as I have for the Heat, they simply can't keep up with that. And I think those that really respect the Heat want to make it seem like this is closer than it is in talent, and it's not. Spoelstra is a wonderful coach, and he's better than Michael Malone. But it cannot overcome the fact that there's a very wide talent discrepancy here. And when the Nuggets' best players play at their best, it really doesn't matter what the Heat do. Now, the Heat also didn't play a great game last night. Jimmy Butler flogged his team for not having the right energy, and that was part of it. But they just don't have the horses to run with two guys that can both score 30. Even if Jimmy Butler scored 30 with the Heat, who would be your next best candidate to score 30? You're hoping Gabe Vincent does that? I mean, it's not realistic. Bam? Okay, now we're talking about two guys in Murray and Jokic who will also dish out double-digit assists because we know that Jokic is automatic there. Again, I ask, if that's going to happen, that you're going to have two teammates score 30 and 30, and then they both are going to have to dish out double-digit assists, one of them 20 worth, how could the Heat possibly match it? The fact is they can. And then you add on that the Nuggets got a great game off the bench from a rookie in Christian Brown, and it's just too much firepower. It's just too much. Of all the people, Christian Brown comes in with 15 big points and 19 minutes. He was excellent. I just thought the Nuggets in general attacked the basket throughout the night. I thought what you had was a team that really wanted to be the aggressors, and they did exactly that. And I would also say this, I think that the Heat crowd last night was pretty paltry, was not that great for an NBA Finals crowd, which is kind of par for the course for South Florida. It's a lot of people that want to be seen. It's a lot of pretty people. It's a lot of people that bring their dates. But in terms of getting loud, staying intense, staying in your seat, coming out of the break, coming out of halftime, I mean, most of the lower bowl was still half empty 7 minutes into the third quarter. Well, that's a crucial time in this game where the Heat need you to be loud and to get them their energy that Butler said they didn't have, and the Heat crowd was nowhere to be found. So, you know, it's unfortunate that that happens with Heat games where, you know, you just got a lot of people that come out of the woodwork suddenly and spend a ton of money on their tickets, and they haven't gone to a Heat game all season long. It all combined to a 15-point win by the Nuggets last night, and now they lead the series 2-1. 855-212-4CBS, and on Twitter, DA on CBS. And let's just also note that we're 2 wins away from the script on Jokic and Jamal Murray changing dramatically. Dramatically. I think this postseason in general has changed the narrative on Jokic. I think people are now totally in on his genius. I think that has happened. It feels like that transition has happened. In fact, the TV ratings have been very good for this NBA Finals, which is kind of shocking to me. I assume because the Nuggets have flown under the radar all season and for the last couple of seasons, that get them in the NBA Finals and people just tune out. Who are they? Nope. People have tuned in to watch Jokic, and I think people are paying attention to just how historically great he is and appreciating him. I think the media has done a good job, actually, in this standpoint. We oftentimes wonder if our voices can be used for good, and I think in this case it is. When you have guys like Barkley, like Shaq, when you have guys like Stephen A., when you have guys on national radio and television broadcasting, local radio and people writing about the sport, when everybody in unison is saying, this guy's amazing, people pay attention. And I'm not saying that fancy to be told what is good and what isn't, but I think the drumbeat of, no, this guy's the real deal has helped people realize, let me tune in, let me see what's going on here. And they have. And so this changes Jokic, because if he finishes off this championship, not only do you have the two MVPs and the crazy stats, but now you have a ring to go with it, and everybody recognizing the greatness that goes with the march to the ring. And I think that elevates him to, wow, that's a special guy all times. A special guy currently, certainly, but all time, that's a special guy. And for Jamal Murray, if he wins a championship and he plays like this, then, you know, it does two things. Number one, it vaults him into a category of Jokic and Murray. Are they now the best duo in the NBA? Maybe because last night, again, they did something that nobody's ever done before. If they win a championship, you would have to then start saying, well, I mean, best duos, best tandems. I mean, LeBron and AD, and there's a couple of others, obviously, that you would point to. But, you know, Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. Where do you start ranking Jokic and Murray? Are they the best? Are they one of the top three? I mean, it's in the conversation if they're going to win a ring. And last night, look, they've had one really bad quarter, fourth quarter of game two. Otherwise, and Murray wasn't great in game two overall. Jokic had 41 points. But this series could be 3-0. Probably should be 3-0.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Well, thanks for being with us on this Thirsty Thursday. You can always listen to the show in podcast form. Want to hear the best of the show or the full 4 hours? We got you covered on both fronts. Just simply search The DA Show on your favorite podcast platform. When you find it, subscribe, rate, and review. That helps other people find the pod. Also in podcast form, my podcast, New York Accent, One Giant Step for Merez, and the PGP Permission Granted Podcast, the show about the show, which we will tape after the show today. Soundcheck is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck at a timeshare? Want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. On to Soundcheck, your best audio of the day. We begin with this year's Madden cover boy, it being Bills QB Josh Allen. Here he is.
This cover is going to be awesome. Western New York is going to be extremely thrilled for this, and I'm so happy that, you know, they're going to feel like they get some of the respect that they deserve. And this is a city that's contributed a lot to football, and it's such a great fan base, and they deserve it a little bit, you know. And but I think that most importantly, they deserve a Lombardi Trophy, and that's what I'm trying to bring here. And that's I'm going to work tirelessly until me and my teammates get that done.
We've now had three really big seasons of expectations for the Bills, and they have not gotten to the Super Bowl. But for 3 years, we've had them as, are they the next? They should be the next. They will be the next. And last year, they were the betting favorites most places to get to the Super Bowl and to win a championship, and they have again kind of come up short year after year after year. Now you've got the Madden cover boy. Obviously, doesn't necessarily mean that everybody thinks they're going to go to the Super Bowl, but it's another season where big expectations in Western New York. Allen is right. They do deserve a title. If anybody deserves a title, it's Bills fans. They have been through a lot of emotional turmoil, a lot of emotional trauma. So they deserve it. The question is, will the Bills ever be anything more than a fun team that we know doesn't quite get it done? I don't play Madden anymore. I think my last year was 06 or 07, if I'm not mistaken. So I have not played Madden in a long time. Miraz, I know you're still playing video games. Are you still playing Madden?
Am I still playing video games? 3 years ago, called DA. Not with two kids, I'm not playing video games, no.
Oh, I thought that now sometimes you decompress by playing video games when they're both asleep.
No, I wish I did. No, by the time they go to sleep, I'm up for half an hour more watching sports, and then I'm asleep.
He decompresses by falling asleep.
I see. So when's the last? Do you remember the last cover boy of your? I think mine was Ray Lewis, if I'm not mistaken.
I want to say Mahomes. So, I mean, it was relative 2019, 20, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I haven't played in 3 years, though.
There's been a number of Hall of Famers that have been on the Madden cover. I just mentioned Ray Lewis, Brett Favre has been there, Aaron Rodgers will get there, Larry Fitzgerald, Troy Polamalu. There's been a number of future Hall of Famers. Do we think Josh Allen will be a Madden cover boy, Pro Football Hall of Famer?
Yeah, I think he's going to end up in the Hall of Fame.
Wow, okay.
I do.
That's a big call, you know.
Well, you don't have to win a Super Bowl to be in the Hall of Fame, but if he's right now, he's one of the top, maybe we'll agree, top three quarterbacks in football. He's been that way already for 2 years at least. I expect him to continue to be that for the next 4 or 5 years. I mean, if you go through a stretch of now 7, 8 years and you're in the top five quarterbacks in the NFL in terms of stats, I mean, you're going to end up in the Hall of Fame.
But not guaranteed. I mean, there's a Philip Rivers, Matt Ryan thing. I mean, maybe Matt Ryan.
I think both of those guys get in.
You do.
I do. I think that we have completely changed, you know, the floor of what it takes. And we don't have any clue how to deal with the changing stats of passing stats that I think at this point, anybody who's, you know, in that elite class of top 3, 5 among their peers for even a short enough period of time is probably Hall of Famer.
So Matt Ryan's an interesting comp because, well, I guess Philip Rivers is too, because both those guys had good teams and yet they never won a Super Bowl. And so you couldn't measure them on that to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It had to be longevity, Pro Bowls, All Pros, and if they were one of the best 3 to 5 QBs of the NFL for a long time. So that might be Josh Allen's comp. Because neither one of those guys was the best quarterback in the NFL. And I don't think that Josh Allen's ever going to be that when Patrick Mahomes is in the league. And I don't think Josh Allen's ever going to be that when Mahomes and Joe Burrow's in the league. It just feels like those two guys are going to be a clip above Allen for the rest of his career.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but Ben Roethlisberger, you know what I mean? He was never one of the top two. Right, the rings.
I'm looking for a quarterback that's in the Hall of Fame that was never the best quarterback in his league and didn't win a ring. You know, those are, Marino was always, never won a ring, but he was always either the best quarterback or one of the best quarterbacks. So, you know, that's Fouts. I mean, I don't know. There's not many of them.
Warren Moon, was he ever the best?
Okay, Warren Moon's a good one. But Warren Moon also has the craziest career ever because he has a long NFL career and puts up great NFL numbers and also played 4 years in another professional football league and put up crazy numbers.
That's true. I just think we're in a spot where they're not going to only put Burrow and Mahomes in from this era. Put it that way. And if Josh Allen's basically the next guy around there, I just, again, if his career ended next year, no. But I think that he's on a trajectory where it's fair to say we think he'll end up in the Hall of Fame.
Okay. Here is Frank Vogel, who won a championship in the bubble with the Los Angeles Lakers. Now he's taken over the Phoenix Suns. What's his plan for the Suns?
Now our guys are going to hear that the number one habit that we develop all year is that we have to play harder and tougher and with more hustle than our opponents every night. Because if you develop that habit over 82 games, boy, when you get come playoff time, you know, when every team's trying to ratchet it up, like it's already going to be there for us, you know, so it's just something, it's going to be a way of life for us, you know, from the beginning of training camp all the way into the playoffs.
Yeah, we heard Vogel yesterday on the show saying some of the same thing. We're going to play so hard every night. No one's going to out-effort us, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you can say all those things, but in the NBA, you're never going to out-effort the other team every night. It's just, that's not the way the league is built. It's not one of those sports because there's going to be load management. There's going to be nights where you're just off. It's a long season. Players take breaks mentally and emotionally. Players just, they're going to check out on a Wednesday night in Atlanta in February. It's just going to happen. So this is the type of catchphrases that coaches use to convince themselves that they can change things. And maybe Frank Vogel does. I mean, there's no reason to believe that Vogel can't have success there. He's got two of the best players of the NBA and he's won a championship, so that the guy's got some credentials and he's got some talent. But I mean, it's just such an eye roll when you hear NBA coaches, oh, we're all about effort, max effort, max effort. Nobody's ever going to play harder than us. We're going to commit every single night. No, that's not going to happen because it's the NBA. And even the best teams have a handful of nights a year where it just looks like they're going through the motions because they're going through the motions. Finally, the iconic duo of JR and Shep try to come up with another iconic duo, a comic book duo, to compare Jokic and Jamal Murray to. Jokic and Murray last night had dueling 30-point triple-doubles in the Game 3 victory by the Nuggets. Here's the guys from last night.
No, no, the newspaper guy from Spider-Man, Jay
Peterman.
Jay Jonah Jameson.
That's not bad. Way to pull that one out.
Yeah, Jay. Is that his name? Is that what it is?
I'm pretty sure. Commissioner. Yeah, you mean you can use the same movie, same plot. Commissioner Gordon and Batman. They make a good team. He never gets talked about.
No, no, that's terrible.
No, because you needed someone to kind of take on the press. You needed someone to be the conduit for what Batman was trying to do. And you know, Robin wasn't getting out in front of the microphone, so.
No. Dynamic duo. You just said Batman and Commissioner Gordon? No.
Yeah.
No, it's Batman and Robin.
Why does Alfred and especially Robin, they get all the love, yet Commissioner Gordon takes bullets for Batman and never gets talked about in the same regard that Robin and Alfred does?
Commissioner Gordon's riding Batman's coattails forever.
No, he's not. He's the figurehead. He's the one that's going to take the darts from the press.
Nobody has ever looked at Batman and gone, oh, Batman and Commissioner Gordon. It's Batman and Robin.
Okay. Okay. You can hot down the music. Okay. Can I just say, I just heard 45 seconds of the greatest radio of all time. Shep conjuring up Batman and Commissioner Gordon as an iconic duo is awesome. Is freaking awesome because Commissioner Gordon takes the press on and shields Batman from the press.
This might be the first Shep argument where he swayed me.
And let me just say, yes, it's so good. I think Shep has a good point here. I don't know if Commissioner Gordon's an iconic duo with Batman, but I do like the take that he doesn't get enough credit, that everybody always talks about Robin. And do they talk about Alfred? I mean, I guess maybe.
I mean, who's out there saying, hey, how about that Alfred?
But Shep going, Alfred gets all the love, but Commissioner Gordon deserves more. You know what? I don't hate that take. I do think Commissioner Gordon is largely undervalued and underrated in the Batman canon. Yes.
He eats the you-know-what for Batman. There's no doubt about it.
So he's basically like the offensive line of Batman.
Yes, he is. Now, the problem with this comp is, I mean, Jokic and Murray both talk to the press constantly. So it's not like somebody else is avoiding and then you need the Commissioner Gordon. So I don't think the comp works, but I do think that Gordon is a better right-hand man to Batman than Robin.
Yeah, and to be fair, see, they both have a good point here. When anybody says Batman and, it's always Robin. So JR is correct. Nobody ever says Batman and Alfred. But Robin kind of gets a free pass. He really does. What does Robin really do? You can go through any of the Batman iterations. We can go back to the 1960s campy TV show, and who knows what they're framing him as, what his relationship with Batman is in that TV show. It's weird. Very weird. Then you move into the Batman movies, and he's not even in the movies until number three, I think. Tim Burton doesn't use Robin in the Michael Keaton Batmans. When Robin does make an appearance in the movies, then it's Chris O'Donnell, and he's a chump. And now, is Robin even in these movies?
No.
He was in the last three with Christian Bale.
Right, that's what I was going to say. And I don't recall the third one. I know the Joker one and the one with Bane.
The third one's with Bane, yeah. The third one's with Bane.
So he's not in that one. No, he's not in the Bane one or the Joker or the Heath Ledger Joker one, the Dark Knight, no.
Now, he might have made an appearance when Affleck is the Batman. I've now checked out of the new Batmans.
Yeah, I have too. I have too.
Affleck's a Batman. Maybe Ryan Reynolds is a Batman. There's another Batman in there too nowadays.
But either way, for those big box office, hits, if they are writing that movie and go, we don't need Robin, then how can you he's the guy? He's not the guy.
The five best Batman movies, the first two with Michael Keaton and the three with Christian Bale, none of them have Robin. So Robin does skate. He does get a free pass. He doesn't do much. So Shep is right here. In that way, Shep is right that we need a better number two for Jokic's Batman. And maybe that is Commissioner Gordon.
It just doesn't roll off the tongue. Batman and Commissioner Gordon.
Maybe Aaron Gordon as Commissioner Gordon. Mraz is back after a couple of days away. So we were all planning to get the team back together on Tuesday of this week when both me and Bilotti were back off of our paternity leave. And then suddenly the bottom dropped out on Tuesday and Mraz had a sick tailor and his daughter, not the guy that works on the holes in his pants.
Correct.
And Bogish then had to fill in for Ryder. Okay. And so then the next day, Wednesday, we're thinking the band's going to be back together. Bogish is back, but then Mraz is out. He got the bug that Taylor had. So then Thursday comes around. We think, okay, now we got the whole band together, but now Bogish is out. Boyle is in. And tomorrow, same thing. So we won't have the band together the entire week, will we?
That's amazing. Yeah, that's amazing. After me and Bogus spent 4 hours on Monday hyping up that the full band will be back together the rest of the week.
It's hard being a hard hat guy, guys. I'll tell you that.
I'll tell you what. None of us can punch in as hard hat guys this week. Me and Bilotti come closest.
Let's calm down.
I think we come closest. You should see my current schedule. It's not pretty.
Yeah, the email at 2:30 a.m. was a big tipping point. I would
tell you, taking a nap before the morning show is never a good schedule to be on.
No matter what all of our schedules are, I would clarify 2:30 is a must time for all of us to be sleeping, and I could not believe I got an email from you at that time.
Oh, yeah. It's never a good thing when you're waking up for a 6 a.m. show and you've had to take a nap right before the show.
Oh, man.
No, it's not good. But neither here nor there. We're soldiering on.
We're toasting to the good life.
I feel alive.
We are feeling good and doing well.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
It's the DA Show's Thirsty Thursday.
Celebrating with some booskies.
Some booskies. Welcome inside a Thirsty Thursday edition, everybody. You can get your toasts in on Twitter at DA on CBS.
Hashtag toast them.
On the phones at 855-212-4CBS. And listen to us on hundreds of affiliates nationwide, as well as SiriusXM 158. Mraz, who are you toasting to?
I am toasting the show Yellow Jackets. The last 2 days, sitting home a lot with Taylor, having a lot of time on the couch, which I haven't had in a long time. I ripped through an entire first season of this show in 2 days, DA. 10 episodes within 2 days. Pretty good. About a plane crash where the bunch of soccer players survive and things get weird. And it captivated me. 2 days, I was into it. Can't wait for season two. Let's go. I'm toasting Yellow Jackets.
Yellow Jackets. Okay. Booskies. Is this based on a true story?
No. Well, I mean, they took parameters from other true stuff in the past. I don't want to spoil too much for people. But no, look, we've seen a lot of these shows come out, right? You know, plane crashes in the wilderness and people are around and whatever. But for whatever reason, I don't know, a lot of people said, have you gotten into the show? And I really, really liked it. I thought it was good. I guess season two's already out.
Any actors that we know in it?
Juliette Lewis, the daughter in Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
She, I guess, is the big money actress. The other ones I did not recognize.
I like Juliette Lewis.
Yes.
Pat Boyle, who are you toasting to?
I was also going to toast the show. Always Sunny in Philadelphia came back last night. I believe season 16 now. I think it's one of the longest sitcoms ever. It's my favorite show of all time. I think it's unrivaled in its comedy, in its lewdness. Toast to Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Okay, very good. Who's your favorite character in Always Sunny?
Yeah, Glenn Howerton, who plays Dennis. Just a narcissistical, egotistical maniac, but I think his acting job of playing that character is just phenomenal.
Okay. Very good. Pete the Body, who are you toasting to?
Yeah, I'm toasting the very very recent hit show, Family Matters. during delivery, Family Matters was on in the delivery room, and all I kept hearing was Carl yell at Urkel, "There's a car in the living room. There is a car." And I couldn't stop laughing. It was the worst timing whatsoever, but it's a show that always makes you laugh, so booskies to that.
Booskies!
Okay, could you pot down the music for a moment? Boop. Ba-doo, ba-doo, boop. No, that's Family Matters. Right. No, that's Full House. What's the family? Okay, it's when you're lost out there. No, that's Full House too.
Whatever happened to predictability?
Not Full House.
Oh. Yeah, sing that, Mraz.
Whatever happened to predictability? The milkman, the paper boy. Even on TV.
Miss you, old familiar friends.
No, that's Full House.
Waiting just around the bend.
Oh.
That is Full House.
Oh, come on. What's Family Matters?
It's a rare condition this day and
this
age.
This day and age.
That
read any good news step. On the newspaper page. Now dig in and find it down.
The milkman, the paper boy.
You're singing Full House again, Sean.
Oh.
So do the magic moon inside these gentle walls.
Even some of the words, step by
real
step.
Real life feeling on everything as days go by.
There you go.
We finally got there.
If you didn't know, that was Family Matters.
Right. What's the one that goes, everywhere you look?
That's Full House. Full House.
That's Full House again?
Yes.
How long is that song? How long is the Full House song? They got four verses in the credits? And which one is step by step, day by day?
Step by step.
The milkman, the paper boy.
No, it's not the milkman, the paper boy is back to Full House.
Dude, go play in traffic, please.
Yeah, which one is everywhere you look?
Mine was an honest mistake. Sean's doing it on purpose.
No, I'm not.
If you keep saying the milkman, the paper boy, that is always going to be Full House.
I thought that was the other one, the Family Matters, the step by step.
Hang on.
The milkman, the paper
boy. Stop. You're messing me up. It's a rare condition this day and age to read any good news on the newspaper page. Love and tradition of the grand design, some people say, is even harder to find. Well, there must be some magic clue inside these gentle walls, 'cause all I see is a tower of dreams, real love bursting out of every seam. As the days go by, we're gonna fill our house with happiness. The moon may cry.
Hey.
We're gonna smother the blues with tenderness. It's the bigger love of the family. Boop. Ba-doo, ba-doo, boo. Ba-doo-doo-doo-doo.
And you've graded me down on oinks for my singing.
Did I do that?
That was epic.
So now we have three toasts today, all to TV shows, guys. Three of our first three toasts are to TV series.
Themes.
Really? That's as creative as we could get?
What happened to things we're happy for? I was happy for Yellow Jacket.
What happened to the milkman and the paperboy? Even in TV. I am toasting to the milkman, the paperboy. No, seriously, I'm toasting to my wife. I don't know how she's doing it. She is pulling warrior hours. She is pulling all-star ballots. I mean, just... the newborn, and as I've said, AJ is not sleeping in the bassinet, so we are holding him 24 hours a day for him to sleep.
Been there.
It is a devastating turn of events. We need a win here. I will say that I was texting with James Ward, former Wheels of Steel member here on the DA show. He congratulated me on the baby, and we were texting. And I said, dude, AJ just, he will not sleep in the bassinet. The moment that I put him down less than 5 minutes, usually within 30 seconds, it's just like screaming and crying. He goes, we had a swaddle that really worked. He just sent me the swaddle yesterday, got it, wrapped up AJ tight like a baby burrito, and he seemed to like it. Now, I haven't tried it in the bassinet yet, so maybe that's but I need a win here. And so my wife, she's holding him most hours of the day for him to sleep. It's crazy. So the Bourbon Bell gets major plaudits, major credit, major all-star stickers for her efforts these days. My goodness. It is a war of attrition around here at the Amendolara household. She gets booskies.
Hashtag toast 'em.
Booskies. Paint the body. No. Mraz, you said you've been there?
Yeah. Peyton could not sleep in the bassinet. And hated that. than the and whenever we tried to do the crib hit, she basically co-slept with Danielle for the first 6 months of her life. 6 months! It was nonsense. I basically had to roll over and sleep on the floor at times because I was afraid of rolling over on her. It's
well,
hard.
That's the thing. They say you can't bring a baby into your bed. You know, it's got to sleep on its own. It's got to always, so.
Right. And then at what point, you know, because it's still too early for AJ, at what point do you try the cry it out method in the bed? It's
right,
too much.
To cry it out.
Then you feel bad because they're crying. It's a struggle.
Oh, it's a battle. It's a battle. Bouncing baby boy is toasting his 2-year-old son, suddenly wanting to go bowling. So we took him. He had the bumpers, but still bowled a 44. Future bowling champ, hashtag Mooskies.
Mooskies.
Hashtag toast them.
Dude, a 2-year-old bowled 44? That might be a Guinness Book of World Record, even with bumpers. That's incredible. Dixieland Dan is toasting his slow pitch team. 8-1 with the only loss being a walk-off. Run differential of 13, averaging 21 runs a game. And have 10 run ruled every team except one. Hashtag toast 'em.
Booski.
Hashtag toast 'em.
Cigar-smoking dude is toasting his son Nick, who was voted MVP for his lacrosse league while maintaining straight A's. Proud dad for his hard work and dedication. Hashtag toast 'em.
Booskies.
Hashtag toast 'em.
And Johnny D is toasting his inhaler. Definitely needed it here in Central PA right now. Hashtag toast it.
Booski.
Hashtag toast them.
Yeah, that's because the air outside is just a disaster these days. So everybody needs in the Northeast. Woof. All types of inhalers. Stay indoors. Don't go outside. You'll drop dead like a cockroach. It's not good. All right, we'll get to more toast as we get through the morning here. But standing by with headlines is Pat Boyle.
All right, D.A., a double-triple-double last night in Miami. Nikola Jokic, to no surprise, had one. He had 32 points, 21 rebounds, and 10 assists. But Jamal Murray also with a 30-point triple-double. It is the first duo ever to both have a 30-point triple-double in the history of the NBA. Denver superstars carrying the way as the Nuggets beat the Heat in Miami last night, 109-94 to take a 2-1 lead in the NBA Finals. Denver head coach Michael Malone said this was the peak from Jokic and Murray in their 7 years together.
I thought our defense was fantastic tonight. You hold that team to 94 points, 37 from the field, only 11 threes. That really helped us out tonight, the defending and rebounding at a high level. But by far their greatest performance as a duo in their 7 years together.
Very easy nowadays when we analyze and talk about games to say that a team just came out flat or they didn't have enough energy, but that certainly seemed applicable last night for the Heat. They were out-rebounded by the Nuggets 58-33, ooh, and they got slaughtered in the paint 60-34. Jimmy Butler did his best with 28 points, but he tried to explain why there was a lack of effort from his squad.
I don't know. I can't answer that. Maybe, you know, we're at home. We think we did something. I don't know. It just can't happen. It won't happen again. It starts with myself. I got to lock in on a defensive end. I got to go up and get loose balls. So I think if I start playing and doing that, then everybody else has to follow suit.
Miami's just going to need more from their other guys. Gabe Vincent and Max Strus combined for just 10 points on 2 of 10 shooting from deep. Game 4 Friday night in Miami. Over to the ice, the Stanley Cup Finals shifts to Sunrise, Florida tonight as the Panthers look to get on the board. Vegas cruised to victories in both of the first two games at home. Told you last hour that Sergei Bobrovsky will be back in net tonight for the Panthers, and defenseman Ratko Gudas expected to suit up. Meanwhile, for Vegas, center William Karlsson missed practice yesterday with an illness, but he is probable to play tonight. On the diamond, look out, Ted Williams. We'll look out from the grave, I guess. Luis Arraez.
Oh, he's not in the grave. He's in cryogenics.
Is that what happened?
He's frozen.
Yeah, they froze him.
They froze Ted Williams?
They froze his head, yeah.
Where have you been?
Is that a special treatment that like only famous people can get?
Well, you got to have a lot of money to keep you on ice.
Got to have a lot of cash. But I think they disassociate the head from the body, and then they freeze the head so that the brain is protected. And they hope that in 100 years, 300 years, 1,000 years or something, that they have the technology to bring people back to life.
Okay, well, all right, well, look out from the icebox then, because Luis Arraez is coming. Arraez with 2 more hits last night. The Marlins beat the Royals 6-1. Luis Arraez now hitting .403 on the season. In St. Pete, a 1-1 game heading into the bottom of the ninth, and then every time he takes a swing, it's a thing that's cosa buena. Rosarena. Ay!
Hey! Duran throws. Swinging a high drive in the air to right. Moving back Kepler to the track. To the wall. Gone! Randy Arozarena walks it off. And the Rays defeat the Twins 2-1.
Andy Fried, Rays Radio. Randy Arozarena's walk-off home run wins it for Tampa Bay. Rays are now 45-19 and 28-6 at home.
Arozarena. Hey!
Hey!
There we go. Yeah, maybe they're so good at home because that stadium is a dump and nobody wants to play there.
Arena. Hey.
Hey.
And in Toronto, Alejandro Kirk with a pinch hit, go-ahead Ribby single in the seventh inning. Chris Bassitt was a dog yet again with eight strong innings. Blue Jays beat the Astros 3-2. Well, I will give you some NFL news next hour because now it's time to get stunned.
Woo!
Doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
All right, really quickly, this takes us to Seton Hall University, not too far from us here in Central Jersey, and a service dog, Justin, was right beside his buddy, Grace Mariani, who got her diploma, BS in education, but her service dog, Justin, also got a diploma, much to the cheers of everybody in the crowd. So Sean is now outdone by a dog who has a diploma, and he doesn't. But yes, apparently the service dog attended every single one of Mariani's classes with her. And
wow.
Yeah, according to the university, she plans to use her degree to work in elementary education and special education. But the dog went up there with her. And the president of the university held out the diploma for him. He looked like he was a little confused at first. He looked to his buddy, Grace. She nodded her head. He took the diploma and wagged his tail, and everybody went nuts. So,
dog.
Yeah. I thought that was a great story.
Dog.
And that's it. That's done. That's a quick one.
That's pretty cool. That is very cool. All right. We'll get to more on the dog graduating from Seton Hall and whether that waters down the diploma coming up here on the show, but...
Tape.
Wait a minute. Why do you want that beer so bad?
Because he's thirsty, dummy.
Too many troublemakers here. Too many 40-year-old adolescents, felons, power drinkers, and trustees of modern chemistry.
Now answer my question. Were you rushing or were you dragging? Answer!
Rushing. From the minds that brought you Mothership at the Movies, he's bleary-eyed. He's mixing formula. And he's sifting through the Roku channel at 4 a.m.
Now's the time.
We present Fatherhood at the Movies.
You look like a dad who lost his kid at Coachella.
Thanks for that. I appreciate it.
It has been a tough go at things at times. AJ was born on Tuesday, May the 23rd. So we are going on 2.5 weeks now, and I have drawn the overnight shift. Primarily because I've offered for it and my wife is doing a million other jobs during the day, taking care of him for all hours. And so I said, I've done this before. I can do the overnight. Mirez, when you had the girls, did you pull the overnight straw since we used to do overnights and our bodies are somewhat accustomed to it?
Only on the weekends. Only on the weekends. But yes, when I had to, it was absolutely brutal. I think actually I used the overnight scars to say I can't do this anymore.
So the first 2 weeks when I was not working, I did 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. And now since we've been back this week, I'm doing midnight to 3. So I am taking him overnights and to stay up, I'm watching movies. And now I'm watching the games again because I'm doing the shows. But and then I'm taking a nap before the show, before we come on the air. So this has been my schedule. So it's left a lot of time to watch movies and to catch up on things. And Mraz and Bogish primarily kill me all the time for not watching or not knowing modern television or movies. So I said, you know what? Let's move through some films instead of getting locked into one TV series to keep things fresh, because I need to keep moving the chains in the middle of the night to stay awake. You know, there is a lot of nights where I'm just like dozing off. Oh my God, dozing off. And I need to keep moving the chains. So I tried to pick films that are either specific to this show or are relatively new. I have gone through Netflix, Amazon Prime, Roku Channel, Hulu. I've delved into them all. And the big lesson is every platform, every one of these streaming platforms has like three good movies, and then the rest is absolute trash. So you have to just like sift through the three good movies at each one, and then you got to move on to the next app. So the worst movie I saw, I'm going to start ranking 14 movies that I've seen. And note that these 14 films happened in the first 14 days, I would say. Really the first 11 days. Because I didn't watch any movies at the hospital, and we were there for three nights, 4 days. And I haven't watched any movies the last three nights because I've been watching the Cup and the NBA Finals. So basically, this is condensed. Like a week and a half, I watched 14 movies. It's a lot. The worst one I saw was something called Ideal Home. Now, you're probably going to say I've never even heard of this, correct?
Yeah, I certainly have not.
This is from 2018, so it's kind of new. And it starred Paul Rudd. And the movie poster says, "These dads suck." And it's Paul Rudd and another guy and a little son. And I'm like, oh, Paul Rudd? He wanted to know about Pete the Body's car. We have a relationship with Paul Rudd. Let me watch this. It was so awful. In terms of what I liked about it, the Booskies, Paul Rudd was in it. The catchphrase is, "These dads suck." So I thought it was kind of like a Judd Apatow type of thing. And it had the right message. It ends up that these two guys are a couple. And they kind of adopt this young son because he's got no dad and no mom in the picture. And his dad goes to jail. And so the message is, you know, love comes from non-traditional places, and as long as love is love, it means the world to young people, and it can change kids' lives. Okay, fine. That's good. The bad was, this movie was atrocious. It was boring. It was not clever. It was disjointed. It was boring. It was not funny. It was boring. I didn't even want to finish the film, and I wouldn't have unless it was for Fatherhood of the Movies. This one, I don't know why Paul Rudd took this role. It must have been a favor to somebody. It's buried deep on, I think, Roku Channel or something, maybe Hulu. Don't ever spend your time watching this. It gets one oink.
I'm looking at his IMDb. I can't even find it listed, DA. It's just that
he probably wants it buried.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's all. Paul Rudd's got to be better than that. He once dated Phoebe.
Yeah, and Paul Rudd makes pretty much consistently good movies, wouldn't you say? Now, I haven't seen the Ant-Man movies, but every Paul Rudd movie is pretty good, so I figured I had a decent one.
Or at least even if you don't like it, enough other people like it. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to like every Paul Rudd movie, but Paul Rudd movies, for the most part, people like.
It was miserable. It was the worst Paul Rudd vehicle of all time. Absolutely miserable.
Now I don't trust him looking at Pete's car. He's made bad decisions in the past.
Number 13 on the list, something called 65. Okay, the plot of this is that Adam Driver is a driver of a spaceship, and the spaceship carries a bunch of people, and it's trying to get to another planet, but it hits an unexpected asteroid field and crash lands onto Earth 65 million years ago. I think the plot is that there were advanced civilizations 65 million years ago, and they happened to design a spaceship, and they happened to crash land on Earth. And the thing was that I was thinking this is cool was, number one, it was new. It was like, this is check mark in the box of Bogus and Mraz, so they can see I watched something new.
Okay.
Number two, Adam Driver, big Hollywood celebrity. Okay, so he usually has some big blockbuster films. And number three, I was like, oh, that's kind of a cool concept because it was like prehistoric Earth that you had to survive. So I was thinking there was going to be saber-toothed tigers, and there was going to be woolly mammoths, and there was going to be cool creatures, and the graphics looked pretty good. So I thought this would be an interesting sci-fi film. The only Booskies it gets was that it had dinosaurs in it. That's it. All of the dinosaurs, though, were bad because they were all the Jurassic Park dinosaurs. I've seen them all. It was only the T-Rexes and raptors or raptor-like dinosaurs. They didn't use any cool dinosaurs or any other prehistoric creatures. So it was so played. It was like basically a really bad Jurassic Park version. Also, it was completely illogical. There was nothing interesting about it. It was a total who cares, and it was a money grab by Driver because the one person that survives in the plane crash, the spaceship crash, is a younger girl who doesn't speak his language. She speaks a foreign language. And this guy and Driver's like, well, I don't know what you speak. And apparently his translator broke in the crash. So they can't communicate with one another the entire film. Well, who is trusting a huge trip like this through space with the one conductor who can't translate any other language? All he can do is speak English. And also, he speaks English like we speak English. 65 million years ago, there is a culture that's just speaking regular Americanized English. There's a point in time where he's pointing at his canteen like, you want water? You want water? And he's frustrated that she doesn't understand. And I'm like, why would she understand you just pointing and saying, you want water? Go get it. Go get water. And he's getting all frustrated. I'm like, this is so illogical. It's so stupid. It was the only movie I didn't finish. I had 48 hours to watch it. I bought this one. I couldn't even make it to the end. I got about 15 minutes to the end. I'm sure they made it off that damn a planet, and I'm just like, I don't even care. I don't care if they survived. I don't care if they died. This is the worst movie. So I give that 1.5 oinks. Have you ever heard of 65?
I just looked into it, and it looks like the ending is the big payoff from what I just
really?
Read.
Oh, really? So
yes.
I missed the big payoff?
Apparently. But I wouldn't still call it a top 10 film of all time.
Atrocity. Number 12 is hard for me to rank this low because I wanted to like it and I assumed I would love it. This was a film from 1977. Now you roll your eyes. DA, you said you were going to do updated movies. Why would you do this? Because it's an American classic, Smokey and the Bandit. And I'm thinking, Burt Reynolds, this is a movie that I've never seen before that I should have seen. It has Sally Field in it. Burt Reynolds in his prime in the 70s. I'm like, of course I'm going to love this. I am disappointed to say I really didn't like it. It was a huge point of disappointment because I assumed I was going to love it. The good was the theme song, Eastbound and Down, 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 is something that you hear all the time. It's an American classic theme song, and the plot is great. That this bold rogue of a race car driver, Burt Reynolds, needs to get beer across state lines. Did you know, Mraz, that back in the 70s, Coors, which is, of course, brewed in Colorado, was not allowed east of the Mississippi?
Wow!
Yeah, you could not get it. You had to bootleg get it, which is the plot of the movie. That Burt Reynolds is a race car driver and kind of a renegade, and he is going to take the bet that he can move a truckload cases of illegal Coors across state lines and into Georgia.
Wow.
Where the race kind of ends.
Is he Smokey or the Bandit?
He is the Bandit. Smokey is the cops. Smokey is known in
oh, yes.
Apparently back in the day, and this is now CB culture of big wheel trucking.
Yeah. Got a couple Smokies up on the shoulder here.
Yeah. And so they're called County Mounties as well. And so there's a whole lot of cool trucking lingo in here. And again, I wanted to love this. The problem was it was so flat. It for an hour and a half, it was just the same exact scene. Smokey is a dim-witted county sheriff from Texas. Chasing the Bandit, chasing Burt Reynolds. Burt Reynolds is actually in a Trans Am ahead of the truck. So he's trying to create like a distraction and throw the cops off the scent. And it's just dim-witted cops crashing into one another. They take the wrong turn in a dirt road. They don't make it across a broken bridge. They fall into the drink. They fall into the river. They get stuck in a diner, you know, the stuff in their face. It's just like the same gag over and over again. And I'm like, I wanted to love this movie. Sally Field is great in it. Absolutely great. But the movie itself is so underwhelming. And they made a Smokey and the Bandit 2. And this thing is like one of the most popular movies of the 70s. So I wanted to love it. But Smokey and the Bandit only got a 2 oinks. Have you ever seen it?
I can't do movies that took place before 1980, so no.
Wow. So you never seen like The Godfather?
Never watched The Godfather. I'm sure it's great. I cannot focus on movies that are like either faded color or black and white. It just doesn't do it for me.
Well, they're all in color in the 70s.
Yeah, but they're like faded color. Like, it's not sharp. It's just a weird thing I have. And I've never seen the original Rocky. I don't do well with those movies.
Wow, you haven't seen Rocky?
No.
The Godfather?
No. I'm not saying they wouldn't be great. I just personally cannot focus in movies that look like that on my screen.
Okay. Yeah, I was disappointed. Okay, now number 11. A movie that's relatively new is also 2018 called Stan and Ollie. Have you seen this? This was John C. Reilly playing Laurel and Hardy.
No, I haven't seen this one.
What platform are these on?
Again, one of these streaming devices. I don't know. One of these apps. Mraz, have you heard of Laurel and Hardy?
Yes.
Okay. So Laurel and Hardy was... They were a comedic tandem back in the 30s and 40s, and they were originally silent era, and then they were in the regular talkie era, and they were Abbott and Costello before Abbott and Costello. They were one of the most famous, globally recognized comedians and comedic duos of all time. They are still recognized as one of the greats. And so I thought this was cool because John C. Reilly is Hardy. And I'm like, John C. Reilly doesn't make bad movies. Laurel and Hardy, this is up Pete's alley, right? Pete the Body, wouldn't you want to see a Laurel and Hardy movie that was done well?
Done well. Maybe not with John C. Reilly, but yeah, done well.
But John C. Reilly does great dramatic acting. You know, he was in Gangs of New York. He's a really advanced actor. And so I was like, oh, that's good. And the subject matter, I was into Laurel and Hardy. It's a historical frame of reference that I certainly don't have from the 30s and 40s. And then friendship of these two guys and how they worked together and they were kind of at odds at times. I wanted to like it and I just couldn't. It was so slow. It was so quiet. It was so dragging. And maybe if I wasn't trying to stay up in the middle of the night, I could have gotten into it if I was in like a small artsy theater and I was really like locked into it. But this, it did not keep my attention. It was somewhat depressing because it was about how they were past their prime and they were trying to conjure up the old greatness. And then John C. Reilly, Hardy, is overweight. So he comes down with a heart attack and then he has to retire. And then Laurel gets all sad because his career is over as well. I'm just like, this is really depressing. So Stan and Ollie, unfortunately, only got a 2.25 oinks out of me. 2.25 oinks. That's my first 4 of Fatherhood of the Movies.
I know that you're zonked. I know that you're up weird hours. We've been there. We were late. But if we're going to go through 14 movies, how was that 4 of them? How? I mean, I guess I'll give you a pass with Smokey and the Bandit. If you've never seen it, you go, fine. I mean, 65, whatever that crap was you watched with Paul Rudd. I mean, you're better than this.
Well, again, I was sucked into things that I thought I would like. I thought I would like a Paul Rudd movie whose catchphrase was, "These dads suck." I thought it was basically 2.5 men. I'd be like, oh, this is going to be good. No, it wasn't. I thought 65 might be good because of sci-fi with dinosaurs.
Well,
no, it was
also
awful.
You got on here and treated Adam Driver like he's Ben Affleck. Let's calm down. We don't have to watch everything Adam Driver's in either.
Well, I mean, the guy is I think he's pretty close to A-list, no?
I mean, he was in Girls. I mean, Adam Driver. I would say Adam Driver is a B-plus list.
He's been in the Star Wars films as well.
Okay. I haven't seen any of those, so maybe that's why.
Yeah. He's been in some big stuff. Anyway, we're through the bad stuff. Now we're to the top 10. Okay, so starting.
Oh boy. Can't wait to see this.
I don't even know if we'll do this tomorrow because, again, Bogus is out, and I did this to impress him as well, you and him.
Well, Bogus is the winner here. He didn't have to sit through those first 4. So at least when he comes back, we get to the good stuff. I hope we get to the good stuff.
I tried. I really tried.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
As the DA show attempts to sing 90s TV theme songs. Here you go. No, that's Family Matters. Right. No, that's Full House. What's the family? Okay. It's whatever happened to predictability? When you're lost out there. No, that's Full House too.
Whatever happened to predictability?
Not Full House.
Oh. Yeah, sing that, Mraz.
Whatever happened to predictability? The milkman, the paper boy. Even on TV.
The milkman, the paper boy. Even TV.
Miss your old familiar friends.
No, that's Full House.
Waiting just around the bend.
Right, that's Full House. Oh.
That is Full House.
It's so rare.
Full House. Oh, come on, what's Family Matters?
It's a rare condition this day and
this
age.
This day and age.
But I have to warn you, my dad's latest hobby is pantomime, so if no one answers, it's him.
That read step any good by news step. On the newspaper page. Now dig in and find it down.
Yeah. The milkman, the paper boy.
You're singing Full House again, Sean.
Oh. Everywhere you look,
everywhere is a heart. So do the magic moon inside these gentle walls.
Isn't it some of the words step by step?
Feel
that
feeling on every team as days go by.
There you go.
We finally got there.
If you didn't know, that was Family Matters.
Right. What's the one that goes, everywhere you look?
That's Full House. Full House.
That's Full House again?
Yes.
How long is that song? How long is the Full House song? They got four verses in the credits?
You're lost out there and you're all alone.
And which one is step by step, day by day?
Step by step.
The milkman, the paper boy.
No, it's not the milkman, the paper boy is back to Full House.
Dude, go play what? In traffic, please.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Mraz just continually saying the milkman, the paper boy is astoundingly funny. Which TV show had the better theme song? 67% of you said it was Full House. Wow. Now, the original title of Full House was supposed to be House of Comics. And Danny Tanner in the unaired pilot was not played by Bob Saget. It was played by John Posey. Is that so? By the way, we visited the Full House house while in San Francisco for the Super Bowl. Mraz completely underwhelmed. Is that so? All right, thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer, Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Thanks to Pat Boyle on headlines and Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. We are back at it tomorrow for a Target Demo Friday. Be good and be good to one another. We'll see you then. I'm DA, the Mothership Disconnect.
Yeah.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
As the DA show attempts to sing 90s TV theme songs. Here you go. No, that's Family Matters. Right. No, that's Full House. What's the family? Okay. It's
whatever happened to predictability?
When you're lost out there. No, that's Full House too.
Whatever happened to predictability?
Not Full House.
Oh.
Yeah, sing that, Mraz.
Whatever happened to predictability? The milkman, the paper boy. Even on TV.
The milkman, the paper boy. Even TV.
Miss your old familiar friends.
No, that's Full House.
Waiting just around the bend.
All right,
that's Full House.
Oh.
That is Full House.
It's
Full House. Oh, come on, what's Family Matters?
It's a rare condition this day and
this
age.
This day and age.
But I have to warn you, my dad's latest hobby is pantomime, so if no one answers, it's him.
That's read any good news step. On the newspaper page. Now dig in and find it down.
Yeah. The milkman, the paper boy.
You're singing Full House again, Sean.
Oh.
Everywhere you look, everywhere's a heart.
So do the magic moon inside these gentle walls.
Isn't it some of the words step by
real
step?
Life, feeling on every team as days go by.
There you go.
we finally got there.
If you didn't know, that was Family Matters.
Right. What's the one that goes, everywhere you look?
That's Full House. Full House.
That's Full House again?
Yes.
How long is that song? How long is the Full House song? They got four verses in the credits? When you're lost out there and you're all alone. And which one is step by step, day by day?
Step by step.
The milkman, the paper boy.
No, it's not the milkman, the paper boy is back to Full House.
Dude, go play what? In traffic, please.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Mraz just continually saying the milkman, the paper boy is astoundingly funny. Which TV show had the better theme song? 67% of you said it was Full House. Wow. Now, the original title of Full House was supposed to be House of Comics, and Danny Tanner in the unaired pilot was not played by Bob Saget, was played by John Posey. Is that so? By the way, we visited the Full House house while in San Francisco for the Super Bowl. Mraz completely underwhelmed. Is that so? All right, thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer, Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel and Audio director. Thanks to Pat Boyle on headlines and Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. We are back at it tomorrow for a Target Demo Friday. Be good and be good to one another. We'll see you then. I'm DA, the Mothership Disconnect.
Yeah.